This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo! Nonchalant! Brilliant! Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever. Forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Blues failed to turn on the gas and capitalise on last weekend's results.
And that is the full-time whistle here at the Memorial Stadium. Portsmouth have been beaten 3-1 by Bristol Rovers.
We'll be hearing the post-match thoughts of Joe Gallen on tonight's show, who praised Pompey's fight to try and get back into the game.
We were the team on the offensive in the second half, needed to get one back in order for us to try to get the next goal, and certainly wasn't for the want of trying. I thought the attitude, the application and some good quality as well in the second half from our team. I thought we played very, very well.
We'll also hear the pre-match thoughts of George Byers ahead of tomorrow's clash with Blackpool. The Swansea loanee is hoping to quickly forget about Tuesday's defeat.
In another game, we probably score most of them chances, so we were a bit unfortunate at that. But listen, we can have bad games. It's how you bounce back, it's how you react to it, and we'll be looking to put that right this weekend.
And our very own Henry Deacon will also be featuring to discuss yesterday's breaking non-league news.
It is gutting, I've got to say, but at the same time, it was always something that we all knew was going to happen. It was just a case of when. I think in our hearts of hearts, every club knew that after this weekend, it'd be done.
All of that plus so much more to come here, and we also hope to hear from you back home between now and 7 o'clock. Find out how to get involved by heading to expressfm.com. You're listening to Express FM, and this is the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and a warm welcome to the Football Hour here on Express FM. It's great to be back. Driven to you by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses. If you must use public transport, please only do so for essential journeys. And remember that a face covering must be worn at all times. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be hearing from Joe Gallen, George Byers and Henry Deacon, as well as my two guests as well. We'll be discussing Tuesday's performance at the Memorial Stadium, looking ahead to tomorrow's visit of Blackpool and highlighting the big news from the National League. The clubs from the North and South Divisions have voted to terminate the campaign and declare it null and void. As always, we welcome the thoughts of you back home here on Express FM. What did you make of Tuesday's game? Is it time to hand Jordi Huwula a league start? And are you confident that the midweek defeat was just a blip? 81400 is the number to text. Start those messages with the word Express, ending, of course, with your name. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, include at expressfm within your tweets, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. But first of all, we're going to take a listen back to how the events of Tuesday night unfolded. The Blues travelled west to take on the Rovers of Bristol. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham had you covered with the commentary.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
And Portsmouth immediately are going to send it long down the left-hand side. Pompey trying to break into the penalty area. Now can Ryan Williams pull it back? He can, and John Marquis can put it in the back of the net. And Portsmouth have taken the lead. Marquis missed a chance a moment ago. He wasn't going to miss that one. Sweeping it home under the goalkeeper. And Portsmouth may have had their worrying moments in the opening 25 minutes, but they've found a way to break the deadlock. It's Bristol Rovers 0, Portsmouth 1. This could cause a problem for Portsmouth. The Bristol Rovers break in the area, and they level it. Jonah Iyunga with his second of the season, turning Raggett one way and the other, and then with his left foot just rifling a shot into the far corner. Bristol Rovers will feel they deserve that leveler. 33 minutes on the clock. It's Bristol Rovers 1, Portsmouth 1. Now Rovers opting to come forward down the left-hand side with Leahy, who's run 50 yards without anything like a challenge, and a ball in towards the box is going to be hit goalwards and into the net, and a second for Iyunga. And Bristol Rovers have turned this down, turned this around, and Iyunga has lashed it into the bottom corner with his left foot. And with 90 seconds to go to the interval, it's Bristol Rovers 2, Portsmouth 1. Looking like they're going to hand Portsmouth a really worrying defeat as Raggett's going to concede a penalty in the penalty area. What was he doing?
Wow, he could be off here.
He puts his head in his hands. It's going to be a yellow card for Sean Raggett. He gave the ball away to Luke Leahy, and then he fouled him as soon as Leahy picked his pocket. And really, that probably sums up Portsmouth's night. Just too easy for Leahy, and Raggett didn't even need to foul him even when he'd won the ball, and Bristol Rovers have got themselves a penalty kick and a chance to, you would think, put this game beyond Portsmouth. And it's Leahy himself who's going to step up and take the penalty, and Pompey needing Craig McGilvery to bail them out here. Leahy, he's standing over the ball. The referee, Christopher Sargenton, had no choice. He was 30 yards away, but could still award that. And Raggett knew what he'd done straight away. Leahy against McGilvery to make it 3-1 to Bristol Rovers. Steps up and scores. Sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. And Luke Leahy has made it 3-1 in favour of Bristol Rovers and seemingly sending Portsmouth towards an unlikely and unexpected and a damaging defeat. Bristol Rovers 3, Portsmouth 1. Nicolaisen lays it off. Can Harness get the shot away? Harness, as he overrun it, shoots, and oh, it's off the post. Good save from Day. A deflected effort. Looked like it was heading in the bottom corner, and Day got something on it and saved the day for Bristol Rovers. They still lead 3-1. He's shown glimpses as he chips it towards Harrison. Harrison nods it down, looking for Marquis. Still might fall for Marquis in the penalty area. That's a clumsy challenge, and Portsmouth have got themselves a penalty kick in the 5th minute of added time for a foul on John Marquis. Marquis takes a run up and is straight at the goalkeeper and saved.
Yeah, he's guessed right down to his right, hasn't he? Got down sharply.
And that is the full-time whistle here at the Memorial Stadium. Portsmouth have been beaten 3-1 by Bristol Rovers.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
The highlights there from Tuesday night as Pompey fell to an unexpected defeat away to Bristol Rovers. And joining me this evening on a jam-packed show of Pompey discussion, starting with reaction to that midweek defeat. First and foremost, I'm delighted to welcome back sports journalism graduate from University of Gloucestershire, regular Football Hour guest and, of course, Pompey fan, Sam Macy. Sam, a very good evening to you, my friend.
Hi, Jake. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, as usual.
So it was a second league defeat on the road this season in midweek then, Sam. What was your overall view on that performance?
I think it's just a bit of same old, really. You get a result on, obviously get a result, and then you don't back it up. I think a lot of the teams in and around us didn't have amazing results over the weekend either, and it's just an opportunity missed, and it's just frustrating more than anything. I don't think anyone came out of that game looking particularly well, other than maybe George Byers. It was just a poor evening all round. Yeah, is what it is. I think hopefully we can turn it around against Blackpool tomorrow.
Yeah. And alongside you, Mr. Macy, we've got a fellow podcaster from a PO Forecast, and he's also a big Blues supporter too. Hugh Bunce joins us over the line. Hugh, great to hear from you, bud, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jake. It's always great to chat Pompey with you.
Congratulations as well, by the way, Hugh, for reaching the big 100 earlier this week. Glad to see you and the Pompey News Now guys still going strong, delivering the goods. So long may it continue. Congratulations for that.
Yeah, thanks, Jake, and thanks for mentioning it. So, it's 100 episodes, mate, and we had Johnny Ertle on this week, so check it out on the Pompey News Now feed.
Lovely. Always a good listen, always a good listen. So, touching on Tuesday then, Hugh, Pompey defeated away from home to a side of Bristol Rovers team who hadn't won since January the 2nd. No win in 10 games for them, and they hadn't led in either of those matches either. But it's fair to say they deserved it on Tuesday.
Massively. I was quite surprised, actually, Jake. It's not often that I'm so confident Pompey are going to come over and get a win. I spoke to Max from the Gascast, the Bristol Rovers podcast. They did the commentary on iFollow for the away one, if anyone was listening. And he said to me that they're awful at under pressure on the forward press and they can't defend set pieces. So I thought we're really set up for a win on this one. The goal from a corner, I thought, you know, Raggett doing well, pressing from the front, but it just all didn't seem to come together, did it, in this game?
No, it didn't. It was everything, Sam, that Pompey over the last couple of months, really, the kind of free-flowing football we've played in games, the the wins over Charlton, Hull and Lincoln in particular, you know, big teams with great squads in this division, that was not even a shadow of the Pompey we've seen in previous matches this season. Do you think it's just a blip, or should we be worried about the weeks to come?
I don't know. It's hard to say. If you look at how we've been over the last 10 games, I don't think we've been... We've been very, very good defensively. We went through that run of obviously six games without conceding a goal. I don't know. It just seems like something's missing over the last couple of games. Obviously, the results haven't been amazing. Maybe that's due to possibly the defence being unsettled. Obviously, Watmore being suspended for the two games, Bolton coming in, and obviously not having the option of Rasmus Nicolaisen until on Tuesday night. I don't know. It's a weird one. It's a weird one. I like you, thought that we were going to turn Bristol Rovers over. I thought no manager, no winning 10 or whatever it is. And it just didn't click for whatever reason on Tuesday night. I'd like to say it's just a blip, but we'll have to see how we react in the next couple of games. We've got some big games coming up starting tomorrow, and I'd like to be positive, but we'll have to see tomorrow how we react.
Yeah. Marcus Deakins on Facebook simply puts, well, that was embarrassing. Marcus there on Facebook following Tuesday's defeat at Bristol Rovers. 81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get involved from back home this evening. Pompey fans, start those with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @ExpressFM, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Now we're going to hear from assistant manager Joe Gallen, who gave his take on the game to Ollie Marsh.
Disappointed with the result, obviously, and losing away from home. We've had a very good away performances and away form this season. I thought that just, you know, in the first half, their front two caused a lot of problems and a lot of direct play. And going 2-1 down was a bit disappointing. Having said that, we did create, you know, some clear-cut chances as well in the first half. You can't score every single chance that you create. But I'm glad to say we did create some chances in the first half. Second half, I thought we were pretty, you know, outstanding, really. I thought we penned them in and had possession, had the ball, and, you know, to come away with not score in the second half was a bit unlucky, really, because I think we had another penalty that we probably should have had, hit the post, and a penalty where the keeper saved. So I thought the first half wasn't quite ourselves, you know, didn't quite get our game right, but second half, thought very, very good response.
It was three poor goals to concede. Do you think that was the difference tonight? As you say, you did have possession during the game in patches.
Well, I think, you know, we pride ourselves on you know, I've got to say, zeros and ones and trying to keep clean sheets, and a lot of what we do is based on that. Conceding goals and conceding three goals makes life very, very difficult in terms of trying to get a result. But knowing the boys like I do, we'll be back out there on Thursday training. And, you know, we need a response in terms of trying to get a clean sheet, of trying to get our defending right as a group and as a team. It's not just the back four, not just the keeper, it's the whole team. But, you know, I back our lads to be able to do that.
Obviously, Kenny wasn't here tonight. Just talk us through how things worked with him absent.
Well, I was on the phone to him, you know, during the game. He was phoning, you know, quite a bit in terms of the changes and the subs coming on. And as always, we have a bit of discussion, so slightly unusual. But Kenny was there, watched the game live from his home, and discussed the changes and made the changes as we go. So, that's how it panned out.
Yeah, and the changes, it was a bold one to make a triple substitution at half-time. Just talk us through the reasoning behind that one.
Well, just bringing Rasmus on, you know, has played pretty well once he's been given the chance, and has been away in Denmark, obviously his wife's been having a baby, so bringing on a left-footed player and a bit more of a natural centre half certainly helped us. You know, I thought he played very, very well. Marcus coming on as well, done particularly well, didn't he? I mean, he got a lot of crosses in, looked very dangerous, got some shots in, very unlucky, you know, not to score. And then bringing on Ellis, bringing on Harvey, you know, we made some changes, but we were the team on the offensive in the second half, needed to, you know, get one back in order for us to try to get the next goal, and certainly wasn't one for the want to try. And I thought the attitude, the application, and some good quality as well in the second half from our team. I thought we played very, very well second half.
You have to feel sorry for George Byers. It's not how he would have wanted his first start for the club to go, but on a personal note, individually, he had a good game.
Yeah, he's got a lot of quality, hasn't he? He's very good on the ball, good passer, some good forward passes. Had a great moment in the second half when he's flicked it over someone's head and gone for a volley. Keeper's made a very good save. But he's a player with a lot of technical ability, a lot of forward passing. And, you know, I thought he played very well tonight. So hopefully he can have a strong end to the season.
And just finally, Jack Watmore, his suspension finished, but he wasn't in the squad tonight.
No, that's right. No, James Bolton and Sean Raggett have played together now and played very well, starting from Charlton, where we've won the game, and the next game we've got a draw and won against Swindon. So I'm sure Jack will be back in the mix and back in the squad and back around it very soon.
Joe Gallen there speaking to the Pompey media team after Tuesday's 3-1 defeat at the Memorial Stadium. And I can't say that I particularly agree with Mr. Gallen there, Hugh, when he claimed Pompey were outstanding in the second half. Not quite sure I can get on board with that myself.
It's an outrageous statement, but I will say fair play to Joe Gallen. He's probably protecting his players. He's not going to come out and, you know, the first thing he does when Kenny's not here is slate all the individual performances of the players, because that's what you'd actually have to do if you deep dived into it. If you look at how Pompey did in this game, it was a real shout of sort of individual errors at the back and going forward. You know, John Marcus of that through ball should score 4 times out of 5. James Bolton and Sean Raggett both have calamity errors for their goals as well. Tom Naylor looked a bit off the ball. His passing's a bit wayward. You know, the old going off for a throw in from the crossfield balls going on. There's a couple of good points. We'll go on to George Byers, I'm sure, and then Marcus Harness. But it was really a tough sell for him to try and defend that team.
Yeah, and the decision to keep Jack Watmore out of that starting 11, Sam, one we imagine would have been made by Kenny Jaggett himself from his own home. Of course, he was on the phone to Joe Gallen on Tuesday night, as he will be for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We, of course, once again send our regards and our best wishes to the manager, Kenny Jaggett, after his operation, which happened yesterday, of course. But yeah, the decision to keep Jack Watmore out beside Sam on Tuesday, was that one that on paper you can actually get on board with when you take into consideration the recent performances of both James Bolton and Sean Raggett?
Well, hindsight's a wonderful thing. If we'd won that game 3-0, no one would even be mentioning Jack Watmore, I think. If you go back and listen to the episode which you did this week, they made a really good point on there saying about how James Bolton's hardly put a foot wrong. And obviously, like I said, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but I don't think it was fair for James Bolton to have been dropped. His performances in the last 3 games since he's come in have merited him to keep his place. I think he's been excellent and he's looked really, really assured alongside Sean Raggett. The decision which I find a little bit bizarre is that Jack Watmore wasn't even on the bench. I think that for me is a little bit weird, possibly, but I don't know why you would need 2 centre-halves on the bench. But I don't know. Like I said, like hindsight is a wonderful thing, and we can sit here and discuss what wasn't done all day. But at the end of the day, I think I would have started James Bolton. I feel like most people would have started James Bolton. I think you put to one side some of the performances he's had in the past and based it solely off him playing centre-back for the last 3 games, you pick players on form. And I think there was nothing in any of the recent performances which warranted him being dropped.
Yeah. Paul O'Neill on Facebook's got in touch. He says, definitely our worst performance of the season. No one in the team had a good game, and some of the defending was Sunday League at best. Raggett had an absolute shocker, but hopefully just a one-off. No Marquis scored, but missing chances and the penalty just sums up his form at the moment as well. We make subs and Hawula once again doesn't get a chance. Watmore must start tomorrow along with Jordy Hawula, in my opinion. Hopefully we will bounce back with a win. Paul O'Neill there on Facebook speaking about Tuesday's defeat at the Memorial Stadium. Okay, then, after the break, we've got a feature interview with our very own Henry Deacon, who explains the unfortunate situation Havant to Waterlooville have found themselves in recent weeks, as well as the implications of the National League South being terminated.
Respect to the clubs that decided to call the games off, because, I mean, we know what we were going to do on Saturday. We furloughed 9 or 10 players, and we were going to play a scratch 14, which included coaches on the bench. So that's the situation every club was put in, and to be honest, it was becoming farcical towards the end, because teams are putting out under 23 players because they couldn't afford to put the first team out.
Keep getting those texts, tweets and emails into us Blues fans. Text your name and message to 81400, starting those with the word Express. Tweet using at ExpressFM, email Pompey at ExpressFM.com, or go to Facebook.com/Pompey Live. And join us in just a few moments' time for part 2 of tonight's show. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7
Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and the Football Hour here with myself, Jake Smith, alongside Blues fans Sam Macy and Hugh Bunce, who join me over the magic of the internet. This season, the show is being driven to you by Stagecoach Across the South. For more information on timetables, fares and the latest COVID guidelines, head to stagecoachbus.com. Before we move on to preview tomorrow's game, and before I bring Sam and Hugh back into the conversation, we're going to hear from our very own Henry Deacon. I spoke to Henners shortly before coming on air about the big news from yesterday that Havant's Waterlooville season has been terminated with immediate effect. Henners, first of all, a big thank you for covering me on Monday evening, mate. I listened back on Tuesday. Sounded brilliant as always, so thank you for that. Hugely appreciated.
Never a problem, Jake. Never a problem.
So to the big news this week that the National League have condemned the North and South divisions, the South, of course, homing our local side, Havant Waterlooville, to null and void after the majority of clubs voted in favour of it. Henry, how gutting is this as someone heavily involved in one of those clubs whose seasons have now been scrapped?
It's gutting. It is gutting, I've got to say, but at the same time, it was always something that we all knew was going to happen. It was just a case of when. I think in our hearts of hearts, every club knew that after this weekend, it would be done. I think every club actually imagined for Saturday's game to be a bit of a, not a jolly, but, you know, that last game of the season on the beach type thing. So it would have been a bit more relaxed on Saturday. And I think a lot of clubs are looking forward to it. But yeah, no, we're gutted. We wanted to play on, despite obviously we had a few difficult results recently. We still felt we were in a position to get playoff football at the end of the season. And ultimately, it would have been fair for the competition to finish. But I respect every club's decision because, look, the existence of football clubs is more important than finishing this season. And realistically, it's not the clubs that have been the problem. It's been the people above them.
And this isn't something that has come out of the blue, is it? Because we've seen and heard in recent weeks of clubs in those leagues declaring which way they were going to vote, some even going to the lengths of calling off their games because of the financial problems that have been occurring and that impending vote.
Yeah, it was always a case of we knew it was going to happen, just when. Again, respect to the clubs that decided to call the games off because, I mean, we know what we were going to do on Saturday. We furloughed 9 or 10 players and we were going to play a scratch 14, which included coaches on the bench. So, you know, that's the situation every club was put in. And to be honest, it was becoming farcical towards the end because teams are putting out under 23 players because they couldn't afford to put the first team out. And then you're just having effectively a reserves league until the end of the season. So if anything, it's put us all out of our misery. But every club there are run by football people, and ultimately they would have wanted to have played if the money was there, if the grants were there, to have played to a conclusion. This is not a decision anyone wanted to come to. It was a decision that, for most cases, for clubs financially, they had to come to.
As frustrating as this may be from the perspective of a football fan, and indeed your case as media officer of the Hawks, I think it's clear that the overwhelming factor which decided the swing of this vote was the financial losses being brought upon these sides, as opposed to last season, Henry, when the biggest fear was COVID itself.
Yeah, just to put into perspective, we were the first club to say no to a fixture this season, and that wasn't for financial reasons. That was because we thought we had potential COVID. We were threatened with the book, shall we say, by the league. But a few weeks later, because it's money, it's a completely different issue. I don't get that. That's nothing to do with the clubs. Again, that's to do with the organisation, who have a lot of questioning to answer. It's frustrating. It's very frustrating because what you've also got is you've now got a situation where you have this league null and void, which means there's no relegation to league above the National League. Now, the vote in the National League, I've got to say, was 13-7, which was much closer than I expected. I thought it might have been 3 or 4 that may have voted to have stopped. And I know Dover definitely would have been one of them. They're pulling out of every fixture now. But I didn't expect it to be that close. Now, what you do give a situation of is you could potentially now, those 7 clubs conceivably could pull out without any punishment. And then you've got a league of, I think it'd be 15 if 7 pulled out. Now, if you're the EFL looking at promoting teams to League 2, would you call that a legitimate competition if you've only got 15 teams playing? So, of course, the National North and South is a catastrophe. It absolutely is a catastrophe. An elite competition should not finish before its time, unless it was for genuine COVID reasons. Let's say genuine COVID reasons. Put it this way, I think this just scratches the surface of what's to come, and there's going to be a lot of things to come, I think.
So, headers, where do Havant towards Louisville, and where do the National League go from here? Of course, we expect the next season to start around August time, but is that realistically achievable if a lot of the member clubs cannot afford to do so?
I think the season will start in August again. I mean, we know that where, you know, grassroots sport will start in April. So if that starts, then we'll start soon after it. There's no, whereas last time with the playoffs in July, we had to pull it back to October. There's none of that this time around. Probably the crowds will be a factor in their decision making. But the other problem, which is the horrible problem in it all, is how many member clubs will be left. Because unfortunately, there might, maybe not through liquidation, but there might be one or two that say, look, in the case of National South, you might be a team in Dorset that has to travel to Kent, Essex and that every week. There's a lot of expenses that go into that. Plus, you're having to churn out all the other bits they're going to have to still do with COVID. Probably won't be behind closed doors by that point, but still a lot will still have to take place. So they may think of that. As far as we're concerned, I think at the moment it's too early to say what the situation is. I think it'd be a lie if I didn't say that we were looking at what would happen in a scenario of null and void, and we're looking at the scenario for weeks. What will happen in the short term is players will be put onto furlough. They will get all the support they can get from the club and the government and all the rest of it. But I think it'd be too early to speculate and plan about next season because, I mean, we still had to look ahead to the finish of this season until yesterday. So it would have been a bit, not naive, because you had to look somewhat in these times ahead, but to look completely at the picture as far as playing staff and all the rest of it, it would have been a bit early. But I think for us, it'll be a case of, I know Derek, Stuart and the board will probably be meeting a lot over the next couple of weeks. They'll decide what happens next as far as the football club's concerned, because next year is a big year, because it'll be our third year in the National League South. We're an aspirational club that want to be in the National League and potentially push on one more. So it'll be a big few months to make sure, firstly, off the pitch is sorted, which it is. And credit to Derek, he's always run the club magnificently. Stuart's put his ideas in play. The 3G pitch ring fences ourselves as well, because, you know, kids coming in and all that. So yeah, next season will be on the pitch, will be a crucial one if we can, you know, get ourselves eventually to where we want to be.
Henry Deacon, thank you so much for chatting to us tonight. Have a great weekend, stay safe, and try and enjoy the rest of the season, as quiet and dull as it may be. I'm sure Pompey can bring a little bit of entertainment to your weekend.
Always a pleasure, Jake. Thank you for your time.
Over the White Line presenter and Hawks media officer Henry Deacon there, discussing earlier today with us his feelings about the termination of the National League's South and North. And over the last few minutes, whilst we've been listening to that interview with Henners, a bit of breaking news regarding the decision to declare those leagues null and void. 18 clubs across both divisions have written to the general manager of the National League to try and overturn the decision, claiming that the options presented in the resolutions failed to provide an alternative solution to null and void. Certainly a story to follow there. Could be an interesting few weeks as far as the National League and, of course, the Hawks are concerned. OK, well, back to the Pompey discussion now. Going to bring Sam and Hugh back into the conversation. Sam, a goal for John Marquis on Tuesday night at Bristol Rovers, but do you feel that maybe it's time to explore different options up top for Pompey this weekend?
For me, no. I don't think so. I'm very much an advocate that John Marquis should be playing every single game for us, as he is our best striker. For me, I just think it's a bit of a big statement, but off the ball, he offers so much. And off the ball, I think he's probably the best striker we've had at the club since Jermaine Defoe back 10 odd years ago. That's probably maybe a controversial opinion, but it's one. I struggle to think of someone better. Maybe he could tighten up the finishing a little bit, but he just offers so much in terms of the high press, in terms of creating chances for others around him. I would stick with John Marquis every single game with someone else, whether that's with Hawula, whether that's with Ryan Williams, Ronan Curtis, Marcus Harness. For me, he is the staple for our team and has to start every single week.
Yeah, that was his 14th goal of the season on Tuesday night, Hugh. And he's now matched his total for last season, having played 14 fewer games as well. Over the last month or so, goals have dried up a little bit. I know we mentioned previously about how performances of late haven't been great just as a whole, you know, as a team anyway. But when you look at the options on the bench, certainly, you know, Ellis Harrison, Jordi Huwula. Jordi Huwula, I mean, hasn't had a shout in a long time, certainly in the league. His only appearances really this season back towards the tail end of 2020 in the, you know, the FA Cup and the EFL Trophy, of which, you know, he put in a good claim for himself, scoring a few goals as well. But we haven't seen him too much in the league. Ellis Harrison, 5 goals in 25 games. Tom Naylor's got more goals than that. Sean Raggett, I think, actually is peaking that. And for a player, Ellis Harrison, OK, hasn't, again, been given much of an opportunity this season, hasn't had a flow of games to try and get a run going. Are you concerned with the options that Pompey have got, or are you just perhaps a little bit worried that they're not being utilised properly? We've got the players, but they're not being utilised in the way they should be.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think Ellis Harrison is better suited to a system where he's a lone striker and then has other players around him. Doesn't seem to suit a 4-4-2 formation. He actually seems to look a lot worse in that system formation. He looked better earlier in the season. John Marcus has to do better in those scoring circumstances. And it all comes down to body position. You know, on the one-on-one, he goes through the chance early on against Bristol Rovers. He doesn't open his body up and he just sort of like tries to sort of put it towards goal and hope it goes in. That's not really good enough. And the back post again, that header, you know, I'll give him benefit of the doubt. He does try and head that down. That's the right thing to do, but the keeper pushes it onto the post. And then the penalty, I think we all knew he was going to go bottom left. So John Marcus, do you drop him? He's one of our, obviously our best striker in some ways. I would like to see Marcus Harness put back up top. I think if you're going to try and ignite John Marquis as a striker, he needs someone around him who can get the ball and create little through balls, who can draw defenders, beat a man and square him. Mm-hmm. And then one of those will go in. Jordi Huwula, I mean, I'd like to see him come on first, Jake. I'd like to see him come on at 60 minutes, at 50, 60 minutes, make an impact and see if he can score a goal. If he can, then let's let him start a game.
Bradley Hyde on Twitter's got in touch. Thank you, Bradley, for getting in touch. Good evening to you. He says, I would drop Bolton, Raggett, Daniels and Cannon against Blackpool. All three defenders had poor games against Bristol Rovers. Raggett has been solid this season, but is prone to a mistake when low on confidence, makes silly mistakes. Cannon has been one of the best players this season, but is looking a little bit leggy. He needs a couple of games to rest and to get back to his best form. The only other player up for debate is Marquis, but I believe putting him back up top with Harness will help him get back to his best. He may be missing chances, but I don't believe Harrison would have the off-ball movement to create himself as many opportunities, and I haven't seen enough of Huwula. I'd like to see him come off a bench. 4-4-2 for me, going for McGilvery, Johnson, Watmore, Nicolaisen and Brown, Williams, Naylor, Byers, Curtis, Harness and Marquis. Is that the difference, Sam? The fact that John Marquis hasn't, especially of late, hasn't had a run of games with a dead cert striking partner. It's been a bit mixed. It's been Ellis Harrison, we've seen Ryan Williams, we've seen Marcus Harness. We've not really had the opportunity to see John Marquis work alongside one sole partner and get a flow of games going. We saw previously this season John Marquis alongside Ryan Williams. It works. Maybe that's an opportunity to try and explore again.
Yeah, 100%. I think even if you look at the shape, I think it was a 4-3-3 on Tuesday night, and that's obviously not beneficial for him because he does thrive when he's got someone up there. I think you go back to the early part of the season where we have Marcus Harness up front with him. I think that worked really, really well, especially not just for Marcus, but for Harness as well. I think back to that Burton game where that sort of flipped our season on his head a little bit. It was a bit dire up to that point. Marcus Harness scores a hat-trick and suddenly you've got this brilliant 4-4-2 formation with two players in goal-scoring form. I think for me, I would like to see Marcus Harness back up front with him, but he needs someone consistent there. You've got Ellis Harrison, who got a couple of games with him up there a couple of games ago. I know he definitely played with him in the Charlton game. I think Ryan Williams was a little bit before that, and I think the Swindon game afterwards, he played up front with Marcus as well. He just needs someone who he can get that understanding with. I think you wouldn't do it with your centre-half partnership. I think Raggett and Watmore have played at least 80% of our games this season. as a partnership, and I don't think it's different with the strikers. You get an understanding by playing games together, not in training. I think game situations is where it's gonna flourish, and I would like to see a bit of consistency in that team selection. Whoever that is, I don't mind. My personal preference would be Marcus Harness, purely because I think he offers something a bit different and is very, very direct and can play those balls to John Marquis to his feet, which is what we want to see. And that is tried and tested. You look at how good he was at Doncaster with balls to feet. If to get the best out of John Marquis, you need to give him the chances in and around the 6-yard box. And with a strike partner who's going to be playing balls low into the box for him, that's where we're going to see the best version of John Marquis. And that doing that is the key to getting promotion, in my opinion.
Sam, thank you. Hugh, thank you. When we return, we'll be hearing from George Byers, who insists that although the midweek defeat was disappointing, it hasn't left the squad deflated.
There's a game every 2 or 3 days. So once the game's done, you're just thinking about the next game and how you can prepare for that and what you can do differently from the last game. It's a quick turnaround. You've not got a lot of time to dwell. So that game's been put behind us now. Training was good. Boys are back in positive spirits, which we need to be, because there's a lot of points still to play for. And this weekend is a big game for us.
When we return, we'll be taking a closer look at Blackpool. We'll be previewing tomorrow's game at Fratton Park. We want to hear your score predictions for that match. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email into pompey@expressfm.com. Tweet using @ExpressFM or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Let us know your score predictions and who you would like to see in the starting 11 tomorrow afternoon. And join us again in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of this Friday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the third and final part of tonight's Football Hour on Express FM, the only radio station from the great waterfront city, proud to be passionately Pompey all day, every day. Stagecoach across the South, they'll be proud sponsors of the show this season. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to check up-to-date timetables and find your nearest stop. You've still got just over 15 minutes if you want to get involved with the conversation this evening. Is it a no-brainer to expect Jack Watmore in the starting 11 this weekend? Would you like to see a reshuffle of the attacking options? Perhaps it's time to finally hand Jordi Huwula a league start. And what do you predict the outcome of tomorrow afternoon's game to be? We welcome your score predictions in this part of the show. All the usual ways to get in touch. It's 81400 on the text. Start those with the word Express. You can email in your thoughts to pompey@expressfm.com. Tweet using @ExpressFM on Twitter or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. But first of all, we'll hand you over to Ollie Marsh and George Byers. The Pompey midfielder began by reflecting on his first start for the Blues in the midweek defeat to Bristol Rovers.
As you said, it was a poor result, something we're not happy with, and we look to make it right at the weekend. But yeah, on a personal note, it was nice to get my first start, and hopefully I can kick on from here. Yeah.
You've been coming off the bench a bit and getting minutes that way, but in terms of getting the first start, you've had to wait. Is that something that you expected when you came in?
Yeah, a little bit. The team's been doing really well this season. We're in a good place at the moment, and I knew coming in wasn't always going to be straight into the team straight away. I knew I'd have to be a bit patient. But obviously, as you said, I played a few minutes now, come off the bench a few times, thought I've done okay when I've played. And obviously, it was nice to finally get my first start the other night.
Yeah, and obviously what the fans won't see, what you've been doing in training. Do you feel like you've been making an impact and, you know, having making a positive signs on the training ground?
Yeah, of course. When you're not playing, you always got to look at what you can do to try and get in the team. And obviously, the platform was there for me to train. I've been training well, training hard, keeping fit, and just biding my time really until I got that opportunity, and that came the other night, which was good.
We obviously spoke with Joe Gallen after the game on Tuesday, got his thoughts. What was your take on it? What things are you sort of looking to improve on as a squad from that game?
I think they were just individual mistakes, really, and that happens in games. And when you concede 3 goals away from home, it's always going to be a tough ask, and that's what happened. And yeah, we did create a lot of chances. In another game, we probably score most of them chances, so we were a bit unfortunate at that. But as I say, when you go away and you concede 3 goals, you do leave yourself with a lot to do. But listen, we can have bad games. It's how you bounce back, it's how you react to it. And as I said, we'll be looking to put that right this weekend.
in terms of bouncing back, is it one of those where you're just really looking forward to getting back into training and working on the mistakes and eradicating them?
Yeah, the mad thing about this league is there's a game every 2 or 3 days. So once the game's done, you're just thinking about the next game and how you can prepare for that and what you can do differently from the last game. And it's a quick turnaround. You've not got a lot of time to dwell. So that game has been put behind us now. Training was good today. The boys are back in positive spirits, which we need to be, because there's a lot of points still to play for. And this weekend is a big game for us. We have to put the wrongs right that from the other night, and we'll be looking to do so.
Yeah, on to the next game then. What kind of test are you expecting from Blackpool?
A tough test. I think the boys had a tough game this season already. And from what I've seen from Blackpool, they're a good team, hard to beat. So we're going to have to be at the top of our game, which we're going to have to be in every game. But yeah, we're looking forward to this game this weekend. As I said, we want to put the wrongs right from the other night, and hopefully we can do that.
When you're looking to, as you say, right the wrongs, is it good to be at home and have the home comforts as your next game?
Yeah, of course. You always want to do well at home, no matter what game it is. And it's a shame that the fans can't be here, because we know that they'd be right behind us and kicking us on. But listen, we've got to create our own atmosphere. We've got to create our own vibes, and we've got to make sure we're really positive going into the game and create stuff for ourselves, yeah.
How have you found it playing at Fratton Park since you come in? Is it everything that you expected it to be?
Yeah, before I came here, I've never been to Fratton Park, and when I first came, it's a lovely stadium. It's an old school stadium. It's got that historic feel about it, and obviously Portsmouth being a massive club, I knew the fans were a different class before I came. And as I said, it's a shame that they can't be here. I'm pretty gutted about that, really, because I've heard so many good things before and since I've been here that the fans really, really passionate, and that's something that in my game it can help me. It pushes me on, because you want to do well for your fans, whoever you're playing in front of. So,
and more generally speaking, you've been here for around about a month now. How have you been settling in, and how have you settled in with the squad?
Yeah, I've settled in pretty quickly, to be honest. The squad, the staff, everyone around the place made me feel really welcome. So it was a pretty easy transition. I obviously spoken to the gaffer before I came here, and he said the squad was really tight. And as soon as I got in first day, you could tell that straight away. Everyone was very welcoming. And I've settled in really nicely, to be fair. And now that I've had my first start the other night, I just really want to kick on now for the rest of the season.
And even though the fans aren't here, you seem to be building up a quite nice relationship with them on social media and things. You've been getting some nice comments, which must be nice.
Yeah, and some fantastic comments from the Portsmouth fans. I'm grateful. I'm really happy that they've made me feel so welcome, although I haven't seen any of them, which is a shame. But yeah, from social media wise, they've been really good with me so far. So yeah, hopefully I can repay that by putting in good performances on the match day.
George Byers there speaking at the training ground ahead of tomorrow's clash with Blackpool. And we're going to continue our preview of this weekend's game. Pompey play host to Blackpool at Fratton Park tomorrow afternoon. And Connor Mosley has the lowdown on Neil Critchley's side.
After the midweek capitulation at Bristol Rovers, the Blues are back on home turf for this weekend's instalment. Travelling down to Fratton Park for match day number 28 is Blackpool.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Pompey will be going in search of their seventh home league victory when they take on the Tangerines this weekend. The last time these two sides met was in the reverse fixture at Bloomfield Road in December, where the host Blackpool condemned the Blues to their first away defeat of the league season. Here's a little bit more about Blackpool, also known as the Seasiders.
Manager.
42-year-old Neil Critchley is the head coach at the club, having taken over last March. The former Liverpool coach, who represented the club's under-18s and under-23s in the dugout between 2013 and 2020, has picked up 14 wins from 36 games in charge of Blackpool. Critchley had also twice led Liverpool's first team before moving to the Fylde Coast, first standing in for Jurgen Klopp in December 2019 for a Carabao Cup fixture at Aston Villa, which his young side lost by 5-0, while the senior players were in Qatar competing for the Club World Cup. The second time for an FA Cup fourth round replay at home to Shrewsbury Town later that same season, as the German boss voiced his frustration at the FA for scheduling the replay on the same week as his side were promised a mid-season break. Critchley's side did win that game, 1-0.
One to watch.
London-born winger Sully Kaikai is definitely one to look out for this weekend. The 25-year-old is currently enjoying his second season at the club, having joined in 2019 from Dutch outfit Nac Breda, for whom he only made 6 appearances. Kaikai has netted on 7 occasions in 40 appearances for Blackpool in his 18 months at the club so far. He started his career at Crystal Palace, playing in the youth setup for 3 years before signing on as a pro in 2013, but featured just 3 times in 6 years for the Eagles, with loan spells away at Crawley Town, Cambridge United, Shrewsbury Town, Brentford and Charlton Athletic before moving to the Netherlands in 2019.
Top scorer.
Forward Jerry Yates is currently Blackpool's leading scorer. The 24-year-old, who started his career at Rotherham United, joined the Tangerines for an undisclosed fee in July 2020, leaving Rotherham after 6 years at the club. Yates signed a 3-year contract at Bloomfield Road, the home of only his second permanent club, having had 5 loan spells away from the Millers before moving for good. He featured for the likes of Harrogate Town, Carlisle United, and on 2 separate occasions for Swindon Town. In League One this campaign, Jerry Yates has bagged 8 goals from 23 appearances, 3 more than his closest teammate CJ Hamilton, who's got 5.
Current form.
Neil Critchley's side are currently 14th in League One, having picked up 11 wins and 4 draws from their opening 25 matches, resulting in 37 points and a goal difference of positive 3. As mentioned previously, the last meeting between Pompey and Blackpool ended in a win for this weekend's visitors, who, away from home, have won just 4 from 14 games. While the Blues have secured just 6 victories from 15 home league fixtures this season. The form guide over the last 5 league matches puts Blackpool in 3rd position, behind only Oxford United and Plymouth Argyle. The Seasiders have acquired 10 points from their last 5, while Pompey have retrieved only 7. Was Tuesday's defeat just an anomaly? Can the Blues bounce back with a win this weekend? All the unmissable action is right here on Pompey Live.
Connor there with a look at this week's opposition, Blackpool. And on to tomorrow's game, Hugh. Going to bring yourself and Sam back into the conversation now before we head to the score predictions. Blackpool, a team in the reverse fixture, inflicted defeat on Pompey. Of course, the Blues' first league away defeat of the season. The second, of course, only happening on Tuesday. Blackpool, 14th in the table. But actually, not a team you'd expect 3 points easily from. This is not a side you take for granted.
No, not at all. They're a good side and they match up pretty well against us. In the last game, they got that 1-0 win. Keshi Anderson got the goal. He's a very good player in the middle, but he's actually out for the season, which is I suppose, is bad news for the player, but good news for Pompey. One good thing for us again is Marvin Ekpieta, the centre-back. He's now out as well. He's done his hamstring, I think. He's going for a scan. But you know, Blackpool fans are very worried about losing that centre-back as well. So that could really provide an opportunity for our strikers. Alongside CJ Hamilton, he's also out as well. So they've got quite a lot of injuries and they don't score a lot of goals. You know, under 2.5 goals in the last 3 games. So if we can get an early goal against Blackpool, I think it'll look good.
Yeah, important to bounce back tomorrow as well, Sam, of course, from Tuesday's shock defeat. I don't think any of us saw that coming. It was a chance to capitalise in midweek on last weekend's results, which, well, they all went Pompey's way, didn't they? Even Doncaster losing on Wednesday night to Accrington Stanley. But, you know, look, that happens. And, you know, that was displayed last weekend. All of our promotion rivals dropping points, Pompey dropping points on Tuesday night. But it's a chance for us to turn that around now. Try and get 3 points against Blackpool, kickstart the rest of the season. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, of course there is. I think there's still plenty of games to be played. 20-odd games or something like that still to go, isn't it? I think we just, it's not about... We can't think about the Bristol Rovers game. We've got to bounce back. It's about how you react to the results, the disappointing results. That's the main thing. I think, that's what we need to do. Do the basics right. As you said, they've got some injuries, so they seem to be there for the taking. I think they're very, very mid-table. They've not got massive amounts to play for. If they're going to make a late surge of the playoffs, now is the time for them to do it. Hopefully they'll come out and attack us, which is just what we want. We can play on the counter, and then that front four can possibly grab a few goals. I'm quietly confident going into this one. Fairness last words, but touch wood that we put in a performance and bounce back.
Linda Mail on the email says, we cannot afford to have these blips. This league is tight and this season, and win one and lose one is not good enough, says the Linda Mail on the emails. Mike T and Salcy, evening Jake. Yes, I think Jack Watmore should start tomorrow. He was missed against Bristol Rovers and could have dealt with the high balls into our box. He's a passionate Blues defender who will clear those balls for us. And don't forget those Jaffa Cakes, Jake. Play up Pompey's. It's Mike T and Salcy. Mike, I haven't forgotten. What do you take me for, my friend? We've got some score predictions coming in on Facebook. Michael Charlton's going for a 2-0 Blackpool win, I think. Dickie Morrow's going for a 2-1 Pompey win. Pat Orme's going for 2-0 to Pompey. Tony R is going for a 2-1 Blackpool win. Tim Sanders says 2-1 to Pompey. And Lucy Collier Sanders is also going for a 2-1 Pompey win. Some very tight predictions there on the socials. Very quickly, Sam Macy, what are you going for?
I will go 2-0 Pompey. John Marcus Brace.
2-0 Pompey, John Marquis Brace. And Hugh Bunce, what are you going for?
I'm going to go 2-1 Pompey, and it's going to be a Marcus Harness and Jordy Hawula to come off the bench. Ooh. And make everyone happy he's calling for his name.
That would be some story, I'm sure. A lot of Pompey fans, if not every Pompey fan, is hoping for that one. Lads, thank you both so much for joining me this evening. It's been a pleasure, as always. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win this weekend. Hugh, Sam, stay safe and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jake.
Thank you, mate. You too.
Cheers, guys. Well, I'm afraid that is all we've got time for this evening. But you do not have long to wait for your next football fix. The Blues welcome Blackpool to the South Coast this weekend, looking to bounce back from Tuesday's defeat and get a bit of revenge on the Seasiders from December's loss at Bloomfield Road. And you can catch all of the unmissable action by tuning in to Express FM or iFollow Pompey tomorrow afternoon from 2.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
This is
Pompey Live.
Pompey travelled west to take on managerless Bristol Rovers in midweek, but it was the hosts who prevailed, winning by 3-1 to claim their first victory since January the 2nd. Next up, the Blues play host to Blackpool. Join us for all of the unmissable action this Saturday from 2 o'clock.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Well, that is all we've got time for tonight here on the Football Hour, but we've got plenty to look forward to this weekend. Connor Mosley is back with Express Floor Fillers, and he's going to be joined by Chris Kirk, playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend. And then from 11 o'clock, we've got non-stop Express Floor Fillers through until 2 a.m. Ian McGuinness is back with Saturday Breakfast tomorrow morning from 8. Join him for non-stop 80s, 4 from 40 from 1985. Movies update with John Brown, but random top five, he's got it all. Great new music, including David Gray, Texas and Travis, and he's also got the latest news, sport, weather and local travel for Portsmouth. Lily Park is back from 11 o'clock. She's playing Just Great Songs with Tiny Quiz and a couple of weekend bangers. So, Pompey fans, listen, it's easy to get caught up in the here and now. Yes, Tuesday was poor from Pompey. It is still frustrating, but it happens. This is a funny, funny league where anyone can beat anyone. And last weekend proved that. Pompey have 19 cup finals left now, and there's still a long way to go, Blues fans. I'm sure it's going to be a nail-biting end to the season, but it can still be done. And the first of those 19 is just around the corner. Join myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Steelwell live from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We've got full coverage of Pompey versus Blackpool at Fratton Park. So keep the faith. Play up Pompey, and good night.